I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Clicking Balls. This is AFL Round 4 all wrapped up. My name is Heath, and the first question I ask every week is your highlight of the week. So, Brenton, you got a highlight of the week past?
I do. It's been a sort of a week of different highlights. Lots of sporting events happening. Of course, there's always going to be an F1 highlight, and Dan Ricciardo gets another win. They call him the race burglar these days.
The race burglar.
Race burglar. He just keeps on managing to find a way to steal wins through, not through other misfortunes, but other stupidity mainly. But anyway, last week in Formula 1, basically the Sebastian Vettel in the lead and the pretty much number two driver for Mercedes had a chance to win in the dying lap. He needed to really just throw the car up inside to try and get an overtake, but it was a bit too timid. Daniel Ricciardo had no such problems doing it this weekend. Managed to do it three times against the other three drivers ahead of him to snatch the win. Come up with a great quote on the podium, being interviewed, saying, "No, how do you do it? How do you make they stick?" And he goes, "Sometimes you just got to lick the stamp and send it."
Like it.
Yep. Also, UFC, a great UFC card was on the weekend. A bit of a sleeper, that one.
It was.
The headline fight was Dustin Poirier versus Justin Gaethje, if that's how you pronounce his name.
Oh, is it?
Gaethje is known as not having a long career in fighting. He just goes out there and starts swinging and sees what happens. But yeah, Poirier managed to knock him out after a very, very entertaining fight. And they've announced a fight card in Singapore as well, where we've got Tyson Pedro, the big, tall, kind of Australian, I think.
Right.
And also Jake Matthews got another run. And coincidentally, UFC have started to congratulate Dan Ricciardo on his wins and his performance.
That's interesting.
Yeah, he's like a massive UFC fan, so it turns out. But I really want to see him on Joe Rogan podcast, so hopefully they can tee that up. That'd be pretty sweet. Great.
Or even he could do something with Bill Burr, because Bill Burr's been trying to get into his F1.
That'd be pretty cool, actually.
And he's starting to do guests and stuff like that.
Oh, nice. I'm going to say, he's probably the only person I've listened to. Well, actually, him.
Dan Carlin,
yeah, definitely. They'll
talk by themselves.
Yeah. Yep.
I've listened to a lot of Ari Shafir ones where he talks by himself for half an hour and then goes on.
Yep.
My highlight for the week for me was I went to two games this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
As we were driving into, we were going to go see Richmond Lions.
Yep.
And it literally started a hail on the car when we were on the freeway.
Jesus Christ.
So I said to Dad, you know what? Etihad's undercover. That game starts in 2 hours. Let's go to Etihad. So we went to Etihad instead, switched up games.
Definitely the best move.
Yeah, well, in more ways than one. We saw the better game for sure.
Yeah.
But also we kept dry. But I also decided I'm going to go to the Sunday game, the Hawthorn game as well.
Yep.
But I took my... I decided, you know what? I'm going to try something. And I took my glasses.
Right.
Glasses that I usually only wear when I'm at work.
Yeah.
Because I'm, you know, sitting in front of a computer. And I got to say, I saw the game in HD.
Yeah.
So it's... I didn't drive. I was driving... Sunday morning, and I had my glasses on.
Yep.
And I went, yeah, I should be wearing these more, shouldn't I?
Yeah, well, that's how I realized. Well, I realized I need glasses when I was in high school and couldn't see the chalkboard from the back of the class where the cool kids sat. Somehow I was like there. But I remember when I first got them, driving was the biggest difference. I actually see the road had texture.
Yeah.
It wasn't just like flat gray surface that you just sort of see disappear under your wheels. You could see each pebble and rock and, yeah, see where a pothole was.
Well, it was, I think a week ago, I went to the footy with Josh, actually, and I said, can you tell me what the score is? Because I couldn't read it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought, you know what, maybe just suck it up.
Yeah.
The glasses are not that comfortable, but goddamn, I can see the game.
Yeah, well, I stepped on mine, so now I've got the cool taped up stems, arms to them.
Revenge of the Nerd style.
Yeah, can't be bothered getting a new pair. I really thought your highlight of the week was going to be the great hot pot war of Footscray.
I was about to mention that. Because it was such a boring week of football, I thought we can talk about some other things. So a co-worker of mine let me in. She happens to be Filipino and her boyfriend is Korean. So two different flavors of Asia. went to a Vietnamese hot pot place, and they said the food here is amazing. But everybody says it's just a money laundering. It's just a front. But, you know, hey, it's a restaurant in Footscray. What are you going to do?
Exactly.
It just happens. They said, so they went in and they started talking to them in Vietnamese. And they said, oh, sorry, we don't speak Vietnamese. And they went, okay, sit. So they got one word sentences out of them for the rest of the day. It was great. They said the food was magnificent, but you got to check out the Facebook page. So it's Viet Hot Pot in Footscray.
Yeah, Viet Hot Pot and Barbecue.
Yep. So if you go to their Facebook page, there's not much there. You know, a couple of, oh, yes, isn't this good? You know, sort of half-broken English and whatnot. But then there's one that said, we got a couple of bad reviews. They're all from this person who owns this other restaurant around the corner.
Chain Hot Pot.
Whatever it was. And, you know, anyway, as you're saying, so if you see these people, it's they're fake reviews. That's pretty much about it. For some reason, it's got 4,000 comments.
It does. Well, it was just the whole level of CSI that she took on the other person's page. You got to figure out who actually wrote those reviews and how they connect to a rival business. And also, just the comments on there were fucking hilarious.
Some of it was just, wow, you know, spicy food, spicy, spicy hot pot wars.
Yeah. It's more interesting than My Kitchen Rules and Married at First Sight put together, I'm
better,
sure.
Better than those shows. This is real.
And it's like, it's only been a week old, so we could have like a Viet Hot Pot Turf War in Footscray. I think they're all on the main strip there, so.
It's exactly what's happening.
I'm hoping so.
And the way that it was described to me, this restaurant just sounded so dodgy, but the food looks is amazing. Yeah. And then the comments, like you say, just someone that's going, Vietnam!
Charlie!
But I knew, I sent you a message. I'm like, Brenton will go to this place.
Yep, bloody oath. Well, it's funny because I miss this Viet heritage. And walking down Springvale, she literally point out what businesses are fronts. And it's well and truly over 75%. It's not just restaurants, it's everything.
Yeah.
And she was explaining, I think we've explained it before, because when they first came to the country, they had no money, didn't speak English, and literally had whatever was on their back. And so the only way they could make money was to sell drugs. But so then they give out loans to people who started legitimate businesses from their drug money, no interest loans. So pretty much every business was started from some sort of drug laundering thing. And it's only like this generation that are teenagers now that are sort of having that life where it's not any connection to that. And then I actually realize that most of them are really just fronts.
Yeah.
The ones that aren't fronts don't last very long.
Funny that, isn't it?
Yeah, it's funny how that works.
Oh. So we have to add that to another. We're getting a few dodgy restaurants of Melbourne coming up. So we've got that. We've got Juggies on the concourse at the Etihad.
We're going to have to do the Chain versus Viet Hot Pot standoff. We're going to have to, we could be the deciding factor. Two Kuai Laos going in there eating Asian food.
Yeah, it's out in Footscray. I'm not going that far for a feed.
Footscray is changing these days. It's getting a little bit, I wouldn't say safer, but they're pushing it out to Sunshine, maybe. So it's basically happened to Springvale. It's now Noble Park and or even Dandong's kind of got a bit better now.
Yeah, they can't afford the dodgy inner west of rents.
Exactly. And there's a few nice breweries out there too, actually.
Of course there is.
Yeah.
Of course there is. What else is going on this week besides the footy? There was something else. Oh, yeah, Commonwealth Games wrapped up.
Oh, so, it's wrapped up. Yeah. So we're about to start watching them.
We can stop pretending to watch them now.
Yeah.
And everyone got the shits because they didn't show the athletes in the closing ceremony.
Yeah.
Why would you show the athletes?
Yeah.
I mean, they've had 20 days to be shown doing their sports. Where are the half-price buskers performing going to get their moan in the sun?
What happened? I'm guessing we spanked everyone? Was that the general?
Yeah, we won by lots. But we lost. We got silver in, like, the netball.
Oh, right.
Which, okay. You know.
Who cares?
We're the only country that takes it serious.
Do they play men's netball in the Commonwealth Games?
No. Well, they call it basketball.
Oh, right. Well, I just want to see, like, I don't know, when the next census is, how much our population went up by.
Well, I don't think they're all on the books, but.
Well, that means could be some new recruits at North Melbourne next season.
I'm all for it. I mean, if people come out here for the Commonwealth Games and go, you know what, fuck going back to my country. Yeah. Good. No worries, mate.
You're a skilled athlete.
Yeah, we can find a place for you.
Like, we've got visas for that, don't we? Skilled workers. Athlete counts.
Surely. You know, put a foot in their hand. I'm sure that they'll find a place on a few lists.
They couldn't do worse than some people on some lists.
Well, there you go.
Oh, and CM Punk gets signed for another fight.
CM Punk's got another fight.
Look out.
I love that because he's fighting the guy. I've forgotten his name already, but the other guy is 0-1 as well.
Yeah.
And his losses against Mickey Gall.
Yeah, right.
So this is one of the O's has to go.
I actually read this dude's Twitter page. He has three other jobs listed before fighter.
Good job.
One of them is like lawyer. The other one was blogger. There was podcaster and then fighter.
Well, to be fair, CM Punk's got one other job before fighter as well. So,
well, that's true. Actor.
I think we did mention it last week that Ronda Rousey made a wrestling debut.
Yeah, I'm not sure if we did. I know we talked about it off air.
Didn't look terrible.
No, it was all right. And like, I mean, obviously I haven't watched much wrestling, but I watched that match and it was pretty entertaining.
Yeah, she did a job, which is good because if she was terrible at it,
yep.
And all indicators were she was going to be terrible, but yeah. If she was, I don't know what else she'd have left to do.
Not much. Mm-hmm. Maybe open up her own fight gym. See how that goes.
Yeah. Good luck.
She actually did also comment on the Rose versus Joanna fight as well.
Great fight.
Wishing them all the best. And that's sort of, you know, I mean, they are the ones that have taken the torch off of her and running with it.
It's hard keeping up with UFC these days because there's so many cards.
There is. There's so much on. But, you know what big ones are on. I mean, obviously, you've got Cormier versus Stipe coming up. That's going to be huge.
Yeah, oh, and the Ultimate Fighter.
Oh, yeah, that's
Cormier
right.
Cormier versus Stipe. Yeah. Undefeated fighters.
I'll watch that again.
That'll be great. I think it's going to be a great season because they'll be great coaches and it won't be all trying to be a thug.
It's not just animosity and trying to be dickheads.
There's actually respect there.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get into the footy for the worst round of football I can remember for a long time.
Well, definitely this season. There were some shockers last year. But, upsets there were, as we predicted. Not the ones we predicted, though.
Well, no. Friday night, Collingwood going to town on Adelaide. Adelaide in the wet. Yeah. Nobody saw this coming. They had absolutely no right to win this.
No, and the funny thing is, obviously, being in Melbourne, know a whole lot of Collingwood supporters. One of them on the Facebook had a screenshot of their tip saying, "Hope I don't regret this, tipping Adelaide."
There was a guy on Reddit who said, "Give me a reason to tip Collingwood before the game." And it was like, mate, you're wasting your time. If you're going to tip them, you may as well put money on them.
Yeah, for sure.
Were they paying $6 or something like that?
Whatever,
But from the get-go.
It was relentless.
Young Stevenson kicked his first AFL career goal and then added four more for the night.
Yeah, it was like 5-1 to end up kicking on the night, something like that.
Something like that. And they weren't easy shots, some of them either.
No, they were ridiculous.
I was listening
picked up the nod too, I think, for Rising Star.
Yeah, absolutely. I think they wrote it in at three-quarter time of this game and just said nobody's going to beat that for the weekend.
Yeah.
I was listening to the SEN during the weekend. And Tony Sheehan, who's the head of talent at the AFL, but he used to do that Future Stars on Channel 9 on the weekends. And Tony Sheehan, he's been around AFL circles for years. Trade Radio last year, they said, if you were in charge, who's the number one pick? Because, you know, obviously Lions took Rayner.
Yeah.
And I think Yanaki he could have been there. And he said Stevens.
Yep.
This kid, he's the biggest talent there. So we've got to see it now.
Well, the funny thing is that there's been someone sort of his, not sort of size, stature, and promise in the last sort of two or three draft picks. You've had, obviously, Wiedemann, you've had, who else was
McCluggage.
There? McCluggage. There was a couple from Melbourne that came in there.
Yep.
But no one actually stood up and showed what they could do. But this guy stepped up. Was it his third game or second game, something like that?
I think it was his. Yeah, you're one of those two.
And he's pumped like Crows, who are obviously minor premiers. Managed to put five against them and not lead his team, but show that this Magpies young guns are actually way better than what we predict they're going to be pre-season. Just mainly linking up as well. Chalor had a killer game and side bottom. I mean, I don't know. He's Benjamin Button or something that he's managed to just put in the best form of his career.
Well, he's really overtaken Pendlebury. And Pendlebury's still doing the thinking for them.
Yeah.
But Sidebottom he's strung two of the best weeks he's ever had back-to-back. I still think he was better against Carlton, but, there wasn't much competition in that game.
And, I mean, Grundy as well, going against, obviously, Crows aren't a short team at the best times. Still killing it.
And, that goal he kicked where he had no right to kick it, running down the members' wing.
Yeah, he has no right to be running with a football.
And the core was great too, because they're saying, he's only 26. No, he's not. He's only 23.
Is he really?
He's only 23.
Are you serious? Holy shit.
Yeah, and he's strung some big highlights together this year, but, remember he kicked the winning goal against Richmond a couple of years ago as well?
So yeah, that's true.
He's making
a
habit of big goals now.
Yeah, and I mean, that's like we were saying last week, that's what you need a big man now. The ruck role isn't a standalone job.
Yep.
You have to be doing something else around the ground. Otherwise,
what else can you do?
Yeah, yeah. It's like a wicketkeeper. You can't just be a wicketkeeper anymore.
Yeah, and I think that's coming into some of the problems with the Crows in this game and in the grand final as well. Because like I say, this is the worst they've done since the grand final, of course.
Yeah.
But what do they do when things go wrong? Because they're not a versatile side, really.
No.
They've got depth. And let's be honest, they've got both Crouch brothers are out, and Smith is out from the back line as well.
I think Sloan had a bung ankle as well, but he still played.
And Eddie Betts got injured.
Yeah.
But the point is, Taylor Walker can play centre half forward.
Yeah.
Eddie Betts plays forward pocket. Their midfielders are midfielders. Yeah. Jenkins can pinch hit in the ruck, but Jacobs is a ruckman.
Yeah.
There's nothing else he can do.
Yep.
Talia can only play fullback.
Yeah.
Laird plays that running halfback.
Yeah.
And mind you, Laird's averaging 37 touches this year.
Yeah. Laird did his part. But
It's not like they can say, you know what, we need to change something up, move somebody around. They don't have that.
Yeah, exactly. They don't have anyone that you're going to really move around, because, I mean, you are a very centre-dominated sort of lineup, and you have stars in that role. But even Jenkins, like, he's got no consistency. They need him to stand up and actually do something.
Yep.
Or he did nothing this game. Gibbs has been probably their best performer week in, week out, and he's just come into the club.
Yeah, he's brand new.
Come from a club where, you know, they weren't as good, and he was still doing heavy lifting.
He was doing all the heavy lifting.
And so he's got to the Crows, still doing the heavy lifting, and sort of the team's fallen out around him.
Yeah. Well, and having said that, it's round four. Crows are 2-2. They'll get players back. Once they get one of the Crouch brothers back, I mean, that opens up their midfield a hell of a lot.
Also, obviously, there's still that question mark on Sloan, if he's going to stay, if he's going to go. I wonder, when's it okay for clubs to start really making a proper dig and proper approach?
Last year.
So,
well, they can't see. That's the funny thing. They can't officially approach the player.
Yeah,
but all the talks happen.
Yeah, if they just happen to be at the same cafe.
Yeah, they happen all the time. And what I love is it's against the rules. But once a player moves on, they say, "Yeah, we started the talks back in July." And I was like,
"Yeah, no one cares. I'm over it now.
That's how it goes."
New player taboo. But yeah, it was really a high pressure game from Collingwood, and you thought the Crows would have a plan B to that sort of style. Obviously, missing players, but you know, with a team that's looking to win flags, that's not really an excuse. You need to have that plan B with the team, with the players that you've got. You've got lots of young kids that are very good players, but you know, no one stepped up.
I do think it was a little bit, you know, maybe they came in taking it easy. And you know, everyone said, geez, it's wet, and you've picked a damn tall side.
That's it. You still got a bit of work around that.
Exactly. The inclement weather continued on Saturday, with the Giants eventually overrunning Frio. Great highlights in this one. I love it when you see, it was Ryan Griffin have a shot from the pocket. Started at 5 metres outside the point post, ended up 20 metres outside the other point post.
Yeah, yeah.
Great. I love those games.
Oh, I don't know, I thought he'd sandpapered the ball. I think he's got a bit of swing on there. Maybe it was a macram.
That got a mention in the call too, didn't it?
Did it?
I was only watching this one on my phone, because this is when we were going into the Richmond game / changing to the Bulldogs game.
I was at work. I was following along, allegedly, on my work computer. I just watched the highlights at the end of it. And I'm glad I did, because it didn't look like one that was, I was going to set the world on fire with skill and talent. It was just opportunism.
It's one of those ones where you go, oh, yeah, I could watch the highlights. Because, look at the breeze. Look at that. You know, make the ball turn backwards in midair.
Yeah, yeah.
But it wasn't all doom and gloom for Frio, though.
They
just ran out of steam. And there's more so than the Giants not used to playing in such an open ground.
Yeah, and let's be honest, no one likes going to Canberra to play football. There is not anything in GWS to.
You didn't have to say to play football there.
Yeah, just in general. But, I mean, there still were some standouts there. It was good to see Heath Shaw getting back to a lot of touches, a lot of kicks, doing what he does across halfback. Also, big news for GWS with a massive out.
Oh, yeah. What a fucking heartbreaker. Yeah. Tiziani's done his ACL.
Yeah, did it in the Bees, and he's out for the rest of the season.
And he was killing it in the Bees, too.
Was he really?
He's kicking 3 or 4 goals in up to halfway through the second quarter.
Shit.
You know, and looking like it could be, you know, within the next couple of games, he could have popped up for his debut.
Yeah.
Now he's got to wait till this time next year.
Yep. And
fucking cruel being an AFL player.
Bloody oath. But, you know, that's the way it works. Still some positive Frio, though. I mean, Stephen Hill got back to a bit of form.
Yeah.
And they're going to need players like him to be able to, you know, start stepping up. And it's good to see him step up. But he's not really been known for being able to get through, I don't know what you call it, adversity or a tough challenge where the team's really full on, like coming against him. So it's good to see that. Even if they lose, then you're going to step up. Lockie Neal's still having a good season.
Yeah.
And obviously you've got Nat Fyfe, who's managed to get through another game and do enough.
From what I watched in this game, though, there did seem to be not much cohesion amongst Frio. I'm just wondering if there's something bubbling under there. If they just,
I think there's always been something bubbling under there. And I think that last season was a write-off, just because injuries and obviously I think cohesion and strategy and maybe coaching was a bit
of
a big
problem.
The last
couple of years have been that, though.
And so I think this season is just when you've got players back on the field, you're not going to have a real successful strategy for probably the first half of the season. And yeah. You're not going to be playing finals, I don't think.
Well, they lost a prelim in 2015. And sort of every really? Season since then has been, not this one. You know, Fife's injured, you know. We'll just get through this season. And then Fife's injured again. Oh, well, you know, we'll get through this season.
That was the famous, we just need to tweak a few things.
Yeah, we're nearly there.
And, yeah, I think they forgot.
Not a rebuild, it's a re-stumping or whatever.
Yeah, and I think they forgot what their toggles were set up before that because they needed to switch it back and go to plan B.
But, you know, there's always Harley Bennell ready to come back in.
Yep.
On to the game I didn't bother going to. Richmond versus Lions. It was funny, like, because I said it was literally hailing when we were on our way in. By the time the first quarter started, beautiful sunshine.
It was a fantastic day for all of 45 minutes.
Yeah. Rain came back.
And then it came back, yeah. But that was absolute belter of pissed down rain and hail. It was coming sideways.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous.
There's heaps of roadworks in the city too, so it took us ages to get out to Etihad Stadium.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's the way it goes.
And I mean, this game was obviously, they got a pump in and Dust kicked six and ragdolled everyone, but it was more about reports and off-ball action.
There's been a few for the Tigers this year.
There have been, and I think there's people that are just taking the tenacity to a bit too far. I think they just need to pull back a little bit. I mean, I did appreciate seeing Dylan Graham still going for a massive spoil where we're up by 80 or something like that.
Yeah, it was
great. We're up by like 45 or something.
His spoil on the goal line against Stefan Martin.
Yeah, yeah.
It was Martin, wasn't it?
Pretty sure.
That was great to see too, because Lions hadn't kicked the goal at that stage.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, fuck this, I want a clean sheet.
Yeah.
He almost got there.
And I mean, it's good to see he's still got that fight, but I think the biggest positive for the Tigers was Conker having a big game. It might be his 17th or 18th game in like four seasons.
Yeah.
And obviously one person that, not people been writing off, but people wondering, can he get back and actually play? Because we don't need, but we always like to have the extra defender be able to run around, push a bit forward as well.
It's always good to have a 23rd and 24th man.
Yeah, exactly.
Ready to go.
And also Prestia coming back and being able to run out of game and, you know, do a few things, which is always good to see.
How you feel being, what's the young lad's name who debuted against Hawthorn?
Was it again? Not Jack Graham. Fuck, I forgot his name. Anyway, he's in my Supercoach team.
Yeah. Anyway, how did you be? You made your debut, you kicked two goals, including goal of the week just about.
Yeah.
And the coach goes, mate, we don't need you this week.
We're done, yeah.
And then your team goes out and backs you up by winning by 93 points.
Yeah, well, especially against a team where you're expected to win by a hefty margin. You think, oh, I'll be able to get some minutes under my belt here. Like, I've played a good game.
This is a good tune-up for me.
Yeah. Yep, even Sammy Lloyd didn't get another chance crack at this one either. So, yeah, but I mean, that's... When you remember that much, you can't really say that it was the wrong move. Yeah. And I think getting pressed to a bit of game time was more important.
It was a bit rough, but poor old lad. I always thought if you make your debut, give him one more.
Yeah.
Let him enjoy it.
And also, Townsend kicking three is always going to help his confidence. Is that not a criticism, but he's always been on that brink of, oh, is he really going to be good enough? Then he'll come back and kick a bag and bag a bag and then go back to that normal. Again, I'm not really sure.
I was watching this one in a bar at Etihad Stadium because we got in the stadium pretty early, as it turns out.
I saw the photo on Facebook, so that.
I was just watching it going, come on, Lions, just one. Yep. And as soon as Lions kicked the goal, I went, I've lost interest in this game.
Yeah.
There's nothing else to it. It was just Richmond were as ruthless as they liked. But again, it did seem that they thought, all right, we're going to turn this into a training run for our back line.
Yeah.
All right, just let the ball go back there.
Yep. Well, because like, the stats weren't skewed as you would think if you saw the scoreline. Like, there were... I mean, a fair few entries for Brisbane.
Yeah.
It's just their scoring opportunities were nothing.
Well, for a lot of the second and third quarter, I mean, they had a lot of the ball.
Yeah.
They just couldn't get close to having a shot.
Yep. I mean, you kind of almost blame Hawthorn because they just kicked it to Rance over and over last week. And I feel like they just got good to him. Like, midfield were like, we'll just let it go over there and see how we go.
We'll get you on the rebound.
Yeah, exactly. No,
you got that one. Just I'll wait out here.
Bit of a training run.
It was a training run. It was disappointing for the Lions too, because they showed a lot of pluck the week before.
Yep.
But that's going to happen for them. They're going to get their heart broken and they're going to try and, you know, pop up for a win here and there. But other weeks they're just going to be, all right, let's just get through this.
And I think it's funny that people would like try and get the boot stuck into Hodge. And it's like, what do you expect him to do? He's in this team not to bring him to the top.
Like, there was one of the journos did a, you know, does the Brisbane Lions regret recruiting for Hodge? I'm like, you paid a packet of chips for him.
Exactly.
Like, he's not there to play footy for you. He's not going to win a Norm Smith at Brisbane.
Yeah.
He's there as a coach.
Yeah, exactly.
He's a coach that happens to wear footy boots.
And, like, yeah, he's there assessing what team he's got around him and, you know, what he can do to fix it up and then go into the box.
I mean, what? Maybe Richmond might have kicked 20 goals without him.
Yeah.
But still, 16-10 in the wet isn't a bad...
it's not a bad return.
Bad return.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to the only good game of footy for the weekend, which was the Swans and the Dogs. Watching the game there, it did feel like the game was played on the Bulldogs' terms.
Yep.
But when they turned over the ball, and they turned it over frequently and badly, Swans were just bang, 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 and there's a goal.
Yeah. And I mean, Bulldogs have had a couple of weeks where they've managed to play a game on their terms and done it very well.
Yeah.
And that's been the biggest criticism of them over the last year, was that they failed to really fire up. Didn't have any sort of cohesive flow going from back line into forward line. They did turn around the last few weeks, but even though they were ahead for a lot of this game, I still didn't feel like they were going to win.
Yeah.
I thought the Swans were sitting there waiting, and it was eventually going
to
click for them.
Like, it was such hard work for the Bulldogs to get a shot on goal.
Yep.
And you just knew the Swans, well, they had Buddy down forward.
Yeah.
He's dangerous regardless.
Especially with how he managed to find space in Etihad Stadium, when a lot of time... You got to go through the middle. It's very hard to go around the outside because it's so quick down the middle. Buddy seems to be able to just get one out on a forward flank, and then he's dangerous.
I thought the Bulldogs are actually playing him very well, you know, because you can't play him one-on-one. You got to have a spare back there to cover it. And I thought Easton Wood was doing a good job.
Yep.
But when there is quick turnovers in the middle, it's like, shit, now you're one-on-one and nobody can help you. You got no chance. He's too quick. He's too big. He's too strong.
Yeah.
And even though they played him well, I think he still kicked three. And he might have hit the post twice.
Yeah, three or four he got.
Three, four. Yeah, there you go. So he still had at least seven shots.
Plenty of shots, yeah.
No, he had definitely had more than seven shots because he had a couple out of bounds or didn't make the distance.
Well, that's about standard. Then you look at the other side. You've got Dunkley, who gets 22 possessions, seven tackles, and 0-4 return.
Yeah.
And when do you try him in the back line?
And drop one in the goal square.
Yeah. Yeah,
Where you could see everybody knew exactly what happened. He's, I'm going to mark this and run to the goal line and kick it.
Yeah,
I'm going to run to the goal line and kick it. And I've forgotten the first part. Like, just absolutely left it behind. Breaks your heart. It does. As I was sitting amongst a bunch of Bulldog supporters, and one racist fuck behind me too. Fucking horrible it was. It's just horrible. And I felt sorry for the old lady sitting next to him.
Yeah,
his old lady.
All right.
She's trying her best. She's like, Graham, stop it. You can't say that out loud. I'm like, you're halfway there. It's like every time Buddy got a free kick, it's like, oh, we know why he got that. Same as Rioli, isn't it? I'm like, Rioli's not
Jesus
here, mate.
Christ, yes.
And like, I'm looking, I'm like, no, that's a fairly legit free kick. I mean, but anyway. And he was, there was one time he was complaining, oh, of course. And then, of course, that's a free kick. And then it's a free kick to the Bulldogs. He goes, yeah, free kick to us on the wing helps out the Swans. I'm like, mate, what? There's no winning. Poor boy. Oh.
Jeez, imagine the arguments between him and his missus. That'd be fucking fun.
His missus seemed like a lovely lady. She was trying her best.
Yep.
But, she was definitely fighting a losing battle.
A lot of times, Buddy's old man comes to Melbourne games as well. He, so
he was sitting five rows in front of us.
Wow.
Yeah.
He's a big unit, too. He's a big dude.
Yeah, I walked past him. He's a lot taller than I thought, I remembered.
Fucking oath.
And his dreads are below his ass.
Massive.
And by all accounts, everyone says the loveliest man
you've
ever
met. Seems like a really good dude. Yeah, really good dude.
Because I'm sure nobody's aggressive towards him in his life.
Yeah.
And I feel like saying, dude, his dad's right there. Can you not? It's still a person, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And even his dad wasn't, just don't be a cunt, man.
Yeah.
No, fuck.
He has been a cunt. But anyway.
It is
2018. On the other side of the coin, though, there was a 85-year-old doggy supporter, a woman sitting in front of me. She looked like she was having the time of her life. Every time the kid would go, oh, yes, this is brilliant. I really wanted. And there was another old bloke there. It was his 1,000th Bulldog game, home game in a row.
Jesus.
Since 1977 or something. Walks an hour to the bus, 2.5-hour bus ride.
Oh, my God.
This is, they gave him a free Guernsey.
Jesus.
Like, guys.
Holy fuck.
Put him up in the box.
Yeah, do something decent. Like, I don't know, maybe drive him there. Drive him to the game.
Give him an Uber.
Yeah. I mean, especially coming in from, like, Footscray. It's not that far. I'm guessing it comes from Footscray, isn't it?
No, further. Yeah. It's like Jesus. Bendigo or Ballarat. They named the town he's from.
Oh, wow.
But, yeah, he has to bus it in. It's like a 4-hour commute.
Can't give the old man a hotel and, you know,
put him up.
Make a deal of it. It's probably the biggest positive story you've got going around for the Bulldogs in this year.
If any of your players get suspended, and I think they got a fine this week, or they got one match suspension to Lockie Hunter, that should be their job. The suspended players have to go pick him up.
Yeah, unfortunately, I read a stringer. Your life's going to battle around, I heard.
It's a funny thing with footy as well. I thought Ollie Florent was having a bit of a quiet game.
Yep.
But when there's 1 point in it, and he just slaps it on the boot, you can see everyone's going, oh, well, this is coming back. There's more. There's 3-on-1 there. And then the ball keeps floating, and it looks like Ollie Florent's got it, and he's gone, nobody's in front of me.
Yep.
I'm off. Great chase from English. It was, you love to see that from a player.
It's too late.
It's just so futile.
And he got up going really quick too. Obviously, he's got a good 10-meter sprint.
Great, great finish from Ollie Florent too.
And a big win, well, not a big win, but something positive for the Doggies was Jack McRae getting back into fine form and putting on 34 possessions or something like that.
Yeah, he's had a good couple of weeks too.
Not all the possessions were great possessions, but, you know, he's getting hands on the ball and they need someone to be able to sort of fill in that role.
And Bont played well in patches again. For the Swans, though, like I said, I feel like they knew that moments of brilliance would be enough.
Yep. We've got so many people capable of just doing those little bits that, you know, it's going to be a 15-minute stretch where everyone just clicks together and it's going to turn that game on its head as long as they're in there with a sniff.
And it's one of those ones where you put yourself in positions to get lucky.
Yep.
You know, a bounce here, a bounce there, but you've got to be in the right position to get lucky.
Yeah.
You know, like with... you know, the last goal of the game. That's what happened.
And was Alia get injured or is just useless again?
Useless. Yeah. They tried to play him down forward because Sam Reed's out injured and they thought, a couple of years ago, he was more the floating backman.
Yeah.
They said, all right, let's try him as a floating forward. He looked lost.
Yeah.
And I know it's horrible to say because they're both immigrants to the country and that, but he looked magic door lost.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, I'm not sure why I'm here.
Yeah, but he's third year now, is it?
Third or fourth, I think.
Or something like that. Yeah. I mean, at least Magic showed a little bit of promise in some games and some aspects.
No, I think Alia's played better footy.
Yeah.
But forward line wasn't his game.
Yeah.
I don't think the Swans have got the cattle to force him out.
Yeah.
Interesting to see where he plays this week. Because they've got the Crows. So that'll be interesting.
Because that's going to be Wounded Crows as well, so...
Yeah, in Sydney.
Yeah.
So he'd probably do better on the home deck, too.
Yeah, he almost needs to stick him on a wing and make him not accountable for anyone and just see what he does.
See what happens, yeah. Because he's got toe.
Yeah.
We didn't see it this game, though. Saturday night, North versus Carlton down in Hobart. Cruel to put a game on Saturday night in Hobart.
Terrible idea, especially looking at the weather forecast. Oh, my sake. God.
Round four and people are wearing, you know... Eskimo suits.
Yeah.
Going to the footy. Fuck that.
Yep.
Benny Brown kicked more goals.
Yep. Carlton showed their more shit.
Yeah.
Really
hard to watch.
Carlton put two massive scores on the board 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
But they're still shit. That's a funny thing.
Well, it's going to be very interesting because, they've got some good games coming up.
Yep.
They're not as terrible as everybody thought, North.
I
think that's where we'll go.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I thought they were worse. I thought they were going to be worse than St Kilda. I don't think they are. Legitimately, though.
The other Saturday night game, and this is the least footy I watched on Saturday night because both games I sort of tuned in and went, oh my God, this is boring.
Yeah.
So tough. And I think I ended up watching fucking Netflix or something.
Yeah.
West Coast versus Gold Coast. Josh Kennedy was back. He said he was going to play sort of half, you know, game time.
Yeah.
I thought, that's not going to work because Nick Nat's doing that. Yeah. So he did end up putting himself on the scoreboard, which delighted the locals.
Yeah.
But would he kick 5 for his first outing?
Some of that. It was just a massive second quarter that did it for the Eagles, and they coasted for the rest of it.
It's been a long time away from home for Gold Coast.
Yeah.
And I think some of that showed again.
And that's it. There was really an opportunity for some of the West Coast players who are a bit out of touch, or not necessarily out of touch, but needed to get their hands on a bit of footy just to put some form in them. They stepped up. They weren't relying on their usual players, so...
So they've got a couple of weeks where they can just... This is their pre-season. Really.
Pretty much, yeah. And they're just looking at some fitness in some legs as well.
The Suns had more injury news. It was a bit of carnage this weekend with injuries.
There was, yeah.
We didn't even mention Eddie Betts has done his hammy, so he's out for a couple of weeks.
Yep.
But they've lost... Now, Pierce Hanley's gone for the better part of 3 months.
Yep. And
Aaron Hall as well. I just don't see
Aaron
where they...
Aaron Hall's done, yeah.
Like, if you cut out Tom Lynch, the Suns haven't got a goal kicker.
No.
You know, it's looking bloody horrible.
Well, they're just searching for who they can fit in those sort of roles. Even with injuries, I don't think they're really looking that good without the injuries.
No, I picked them bottom four. And that's looking like it's going to be fairly comfortable at this stage.
Yeah, and I mean, Swallow showed up. He was about the only one.
Yeah, somebody's got to get the ball.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much.
End of the day.
It can't be a full, pantsing.
I guess the only joy they've got is Ablett's injured. And they're like, yeah, see?
Yeah.
I don't know. You got to find...
Something. Yeah, I mean, you've got Lockie Weller, but obviously you pay big for him.
Yeah.
You still need bigger than that, though.
Yeah, that's not going to help. Talking during the week, too, you know, with Lynch comes up for free agency end of this year.
Yeah.
If he goes, like, that'll rip the heart out of Gold Coast. Well, I mean, what have they got left? If Tom Lynch, if they can't hold on to Tom Lynch and he goes to any club, it doesn't matter which club he goes to.
Yeah.
The Suns are just a feeder club then.
Yeah, it's pretty much. And, I mean, they're waiting on this Commonwealth Games to finish up so they can actually go home again
in
their facilities, but it's going to be pretty empty facilities.
Yeah.
I don't know if people actually want to stay around there. I mean, on the flip side of West Coast, that puts them second on the ladder, which no one would have predicted. I've had them probably finishing a bit outside.
So,
I think West Coast is probably going to be a lot better than what people thought this season.
They won't get tested for another couple of weeks yet, though, unfortunately.
That's good for them, though. They want to just keep on going like they are and get some fitness in some legs and the confidence. So
every week, Nick Nat's playing more game time.
Yeah.
Now, Josh Kennedy's going to be the same.
Yeah.
The longer it goes on for them, the better it is.
Yeah.
It's round four. They've got a couple of wins on the board. They could easily string a few more together and look at finals.
Yeah, especially their... got their new home ground, so it'll be a good thing for them if they can sort of take that as theirs as opposed to Freo, get that spot behind them. And
but the other problem is there that Adam Simpson's called out that he thinks the surface might be a little bit hard.
Really?
Because they're getting a lot of leg injuries. They lost Liam Ryan, who broke his leg.
Yeah.
And now they've lost Venables, who was their other first-year player, who's looking good.
Actually, had problems with the fencing on the boundary, didn't they, with the LED displays?
They did as well for the week before they did. It was
jagged and... cut people's hands up, not from heavy contact, just...
hitting it. So they've put Perspex over it now,
which,
you know, otherwise known as standard operating procedure.
Yeah, I would have thought, you know, let's not have Coliseum-style jagged edges around the outside and just fuck people
sometimes,
up.
Sometimes, you know, there's got to be a reason to put the warning labels up.
Yeah, that's true.
The Eagles going to... Luke Shuey's not playing this week, but, you know, they're coming up against Carlton, so I think they're taking it easy anyway.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
On to Sunday. We did say in the podcast last week there's no reason why Essendon can win this one, so they probably will.
Yep.
I tipped them.
I think I tipped Port, didn't I? Who knows? Fucking.
Well, I don't know if I tipped them on the podcast, but I tipped them when I put in my tips.
Right.
Jakey Stringer had his best game.
Yeah, who would have thought? Put him in the forward line. put Hurley in the back line.
Hooker,
sorry.
Yeah. It does seem a little bit, sometimes you can fucking be too genius. Clever for your own good.
Yeah.
You want versatile players, like we said with Adelaide. They need versatile players. Essendon have tried it and went, you know what, maybe we'll go back to our strengths.
Yeah, let's just have a go, especially against Port Adelaide, who are going to be a very quick team. Put people in their best positions and see what happens, and it's turned out a treat.
They look stuck in the mud in this game, Port.
Well, they just had no answer. They were always second to the ball. Wasn't pressure when they needed to apply pressure and force turnovers. And Essendon just consistently did enough. I mean, they got out to a pretty decent lead in the first, I think. And then the second.
Yeah, Port fought back, but Essendon were up to it.
They always managed to mitigate whatever sort of strategy Port were doing. And, I mean, it wasn't a terrible showing by Port. They certainly, you know, gave it maybe their all, but they were just outclassed. across the other day.
They're looking at rushing back Ryder too, which is going to help them immensely because he's such a great athlete.
Yeah.
But you don't want to rush him back too early because...
No. I still feel like they need more.
Well, they've got all these young guns. They've got all fire. And they've got to want it. You know, sometimes when you... I think Port have earned themselves a little bit of a reputation for when the chips are down. Oh, fuck it.
Yeah, yep, someone else do the work.
Yeah.
And I feel like if anyone had probably reason to mix their team up and see if they could mess players around position-wise, probably Port.
Yeah.
Because they've got a lot of sort of forward power, but if you can't get the ball to them in a good delivery sense, then it's not doing much.
Well, and that's it. They've got a lot of running backmen too that love to run forward.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, sometimes you've got to go back here.
And that's it. I mean, Robbie Gray managed to rack up a lot of possessions, but... weren't necessarily effective ones. A lot of dinky little handballs and just fucking around with it.
Usual kind.
Yeah. It seems like there's a little bit of cracks in those poor Adelaide team.
Even though it was a good win by Essendon over the previously undefeated Port, still got room to grow as well.
They do, yeah. And this is one that obviously, it was a proper team effort. It wasn't like it was just one person having a gun game. I mean, obviously there was Stringer doing his part.
Yeah.
Hooker in the back line. But yeah, it took a lot of people to actually get this one across the line.
Danaher had a slow start, but eventually got a couple on the board, and I think that'll do him better.
Yeah.
And they got the big Anzac Day coming up, so they'll enjoy their long break before that.
Yeah. Yep.
The Sunday afternoon game that I attended, Hawthorn and Melbourne. Interesting first quarter. Because Melbourne kicked 5 in the first quarter.
I think so. Three straight out of the gate, I believe it was.
Hawks got one in the first 30 seconds and then hardly scoring again for the next 15 minutes.
Yeah.
But I still felt like Hawthorn were controlling the game. But I've read other people that have said, you know, Melbourne were all over them. So maybe that's just me being biased.
Yeah. No, I feel like at the ground you get a better sense of what's going on as well because you see what's going on off the ball.
Jesse Hogan was a monster in that first quarter. He was leading possessions.
Was he really?
And Kent had kicked 3, including the third one he kicked was just, you know, on 50, turn around, 2 steps, bang.
Yeah.
And never looked like missing.
That's always a good, thing to have feather in your cap is to have that good goal sense, especially when you're 50 out, you can do it from a couple of steps. Yeah. That can just break the hearts of the other team. Didn't break the hearts of the Hawks, though. They managed to bang, was it 9 in a row?
Probably more, I think. Yeah. From quarter time onwards, it was 15-2 to one goal.
Yeah, which is just, I mean, Hawks were all but written off at the start of the season. You know, people thought a rebuild was sort of a mild term what they're going through.
Yeah.
Kenner comes back and look at this is what happens.
And funny old game too. This is one of the ones, you know, I'm a massive fan of Clarkson.
Yeah.
But sometimes the genius coach can be made to look like a genius by his players.
Yeah.
Classic example, 08 grand final, swing Stewie Jew forward. And the next day on the Sunday footy show, they said, it was a great move. He goes, I didn't do it.
Yeah.
He did. In this one, Jesse Hogan's killing it.
Yep.
Absolutely killing it. And Chip Frawley has got a migraine and has to go off at the end of the first quarter.
Jeez.
Never heard of that before.
Wow.
But he just couldn't stay there. So that leaves David Mirror playing his first game to stand Jesse Hogan. The first mark Mirror goes for is uncontested, bounces off his chest horribly.
Yep.
Like, that's the way you want to start your footy career.
Yeah, you're not going
to
hear about that during the week of training.
No, he heard about it 2 seconds later when Jesse Hogan patted him on the head. And that was just about the last easy touch Jesse Hogan got all day.
Yeah, yep.
And then, so Mirror's the first gamer. Or he's 27.
Yeah,
he's fucking 5 years older than Jesse Hogan anyway. But
yeah,
is holding down the super former NAB Rising Star and the Great White Hope from Melbourne. So James Frawley's better now, and Clarkson goes, oh fuck it, send him to full forward. You can afford to muck around with those kind of things when you go, you know what, the first gamer's holding down.
Well, that's it. I mean, don't hold a race pulse back if he's in the lead. You know, you're not going to pull the reins. But it was like, I mean, Melbourne were getting their hands on the ball, but it was just the pressure by Hawks.
Yep.
Like, they smashed them in the tackles, even though they were beaten in contested possessions. The pressure was always there.
Well, it's wet weather footy. You got two options in wet weather footy. Either be second to the ball or hunt in packs. You've got to have two people to the ball.
Yeah, and it did sort of help negate the advantage of having Gorn and Ruckin getting his first hand on the ball, because you're almost conceding that, and so you're right, all right, we play a little bit smaller and just make sure whenever they get up, we're pressurizing forcing that turnover.
Before the game, you say the two important matchups are Gorn versus McAvoy, because McAvoy's been great, but Gorn's, you know, an all-Australian ruckman.
Yeah.
Gorn won that matchup without a doubt. That was 60 hitouts to 20,
something
like that.
Yep.
And I think Ben McAvoy had one kick for the day.
Yeah.
And that was from a free kick, I reckon.
Yeah.
But a lot of the times, Gorn was saying, you know what, I'm not going to tap it down low. I'm just going to whack it forward.
Which is not
silly idea.
Yeah, exactly.
The other big matchup was whoever tags Tom Mitchell. You would have thought it was Bernie Vince, but Melbourne went, no, we're going to send the captain to him. We're going to send Nathan Jones.
Yep.
At half time, I think Tom Mitchell had 10 touches.
Yep.
24 by the end of the day. And you know what? If you go in and say Gorn's going to get 4 hitouts to every 1 of McAvoy, and Jones is going to keep Tom Mitchell to 24 touches, and he got like 5 or 6 in the last 10 minutes again, you'd say Melbourne would be very happy with that.
Well, they would have been.
Would have been.
Until
they won the two big matchups.
Until Jagger O'Meara decided he's going to take this game on. And also, Liam Shields puts up 14 tackles and killed him.
31 touches, 14 tackles.
Yeah, which is ridiculous.
Such a day out. And there was one move forward where he's running in clear, and you see Tim O'Brien running back to goals. He's like, no, you're going to run to me, and now.
Right, yep.
It's just perfect.
It was perfect. And obviously, are there any doubts with how O'Meara's legs holding up? I think he put that all to bed. His pace was there.
The horrible thing is now this just sets expectations.
Well, it does.
Like, see, he's over it. He's over it. And he's done it again.
Yeah. Also, Hawks did pick up a couple of injuries in this game as well, didn't they? I think Popolo...
Piopo's done a hammy. He's gone for a month. And Cyril's done a knee. He's gone
for
a month.
Yeah, so that's always going to hurt. But, you know, I mean, they seem to just be overcoming adversity this whole year. It's been the story of the Hawks. So, yeah, we'll see what happens with this one. You get two back and two leave.
Yeah, that's it. It's, you know, another soldier falls. One takes their place.
Yeah, one picks up his rifle and...
And I think the story coming out of this game really is how bad Melbourne was. And the fans are... gone into it,
didn't they?
They were meant to have hope this year,
yep.
But they were hopeless on this day. They didn't want it.
Well, they did good in off-season trading, and they had a team where you're like, yeah, I mean, it's not that good. There's no out-and-out stars that say, all right, fuck, how are you going to look after this guy?
But overpaid for Lever.
Yeah, definitely.
And they can say all they like that, you know, he's going to be a better player in the future, but I thought that anybody watching would know he's an okay player in a good back line at Adelaide.
Yep.
Now he's got to be the lead that back line. There was one part where, like, Ruffy's a big bloke.
Yeah. Right?
He's 105 kilos to Jakey Lever's, I don't know, 80.
Yeah.
He decided to try and stiff arm Ruffy while standing still. Expected result. You know? That's just not smart, mate.
Yeah. There's don't argues and there's please don't hit me.
Yeah.
That was one of those.
Wasn't good. But ridiculous for Hawthorn too. 15-2 in the wet.
Yeah.
When, you know, everyone's struggling to kick set shots from dead in front, and Jack Gunston's kicking them from the boundary line.
Yeah.
From 50.
Yeah. And obviously, this just shows the weakness that Melbourne have in their back line. They're a great midfield team and great sort of running team, but if you don't have people that can defend, then.
They just didn't want to be hard on them.
Yeah. You're not going to be able to outshoot.
In the final game, Geelong and a canter over St Kilda. St Kilda had, was it Roberton? Just fainted from irregular heartbeat.
Yeah, this looks terrible.
Fucking
too.
Fucking hell.
Like,
I've seen this happen a few times. I remember, I think it was young Ebert. Eagleton.
Eagleton, right.
Remember from Port Adelaide once. Adelaide Oval just collapsed.
Yeah.
And they put him back on.
Yep.
So this has happened a couple of times this year now.
Well, it happened to Vickery, but he was going for a spoil.
Yeah, he's a weird one as well.
Yeah.
And there was one in Collingwood 2s a couple of weeks ago as well.
Yeah.
But... the funny thing is, like, he's laying up in hospital that night. They took him straight, you know, an ambulance. He's like, yeah, I'm fine.
Yeah, yep.
It's just one of those things.
One of those things where, I mean, is it a regular heartbeat that causes low blood pressure or something?
Something like that.
Because it happened to me once before. I don't even know what it was from, but I remember just feeling, like, a bit lightheaded. Almost someone like you stand up too quick.
Yeah.
Because I didn't stand up too quick. I was just sort of walking around. And I remember sat down thinking, I'm going to, like, faint here. Tried to grab onto the table, and that didn't help. Next thing I know, I was on the floor. And the missus has got my hand in her lap going, what's going on? I remember opening my eyes and then feeling a roll in the back of my head again. I was like, the fuck? And then I stopped and I was fine. It was good after that.
Yeah, I'm good now.
Never happened again.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where my AFL career went wrong.
As a 29-year-old. Yeah. I faded. That was it. That's when I knew the dream was
just
over.
About to go down to the Doncaster Sharks.
It was an all-round effort, though, from Geelong. Saints just didn't have an answer.
Well, I thought Brendan Parfitt was the standout for that game.
He did a great one.
Cracking game. Efficiency was spot on, too.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Geelong have always... When off season you look at their midfield and they're like, oh my God, how are you going to stop this? It's been the other players really that have done the work for them.
Hey, Menzel couldn't get a fucking contract.
Yeah, yeah.
He's kicked, what, four goals, five goals.
Yep.
In his games. They're still talking, you know, he won't have much of a contract offer at the end of this year. God damn it, somebody sign him. He's that fucking good. But he's had knee injuries before. Who fucking cares?
Exactly. That's it.
Such a reliable shot.
You can afford to trade off one of your big guns and just keep these players around if you need the room.
You're going
to
pay nothing for him.
Yeah. Yep.
And he does his knee. All right, he's gone.
Yep.
Oh, okay. We traded a fifth round pick for him.
Yeah. And Tim Kelly kicks a couple himself.
He's a good player.
They're looking good and not for the reasons we expected.
Yeah. Wayne Carey made some comments during the week that Geelong will actually be better off without Ablett.
Yeah.
Now, I said, you know, recruiting-wise, he's not what they needed. But
at
the minute, I think Mitch Duncan offers that team more of what they need than what Gary Ablett does.
Yeah.
Because with Selwood and Dangerfield, they've got what Ablett does.
Yeah, that's it.
Mitch Duncan is a different kind of player. So it's just that difference that they need.
Yep.
They won't be missing Gary at all.
I mean, it's almost like you don't need Gary to play a full season. Give him, like, his 14 games a year, and I'm sure he's probably happy with that.
I'm sure he's fine.
Yeah.
They had Lachie Henderson has gone back in for surgery, so he's going to be a little while out longer.
Yep.
But they'll find ways to cover.
Yeah.
All right, so that was one of the worst rounds of footy in recent memory, so at least we can look forward to doing it again next week. With a better spate of footy. It all starts on Friday night in round 5 at the SCG, Sydney versus Adelaide.
Sydney, Adelaide, SCG.
Jeez. Adelaide have got to respond, but geez, Sydney at home's a tough ask.
It is, and they're still missing that back line. Like, what do you do with Buddy? What are you going
to
do?
Talia's got to go to him.
But it's almost, you can't have one person, one out. You're going to have like a zoning strategy or something because... That ground is not big. No, you need to cover Buddy up to pretty much the wing.
Last year, Buddy was the reason the Swans won this match.
Yeah.
So there's going to be... You've got to have a plan for Buddy.
Yeah, and I feel like they don't have the cattle that they can really make this game their own. I feel like... What game plan do Adelaide come to make Sydney have to be defending and on the back foot have to go to their plan B or C? I can't see it happening.
And I see more options for Sydney here too because they can, Laird's been killing it. Like we said, averaging 37.5 touches. And they can go, all right, well, let's put Papley where Laird is.
Yeah.
Because Papley's the type of player that just pops up for a goal here and there.
Yeah.
So Laird's got to be worried about him.
Yeah.
So if they do that, I see the Swans winning this one. I don't know how Adelaide can respond.
Yeah, I think a great matchup will be watching Rampy and Gibbs. I hope they go head to head.
Yeah.
I think that'll be a cracking matchup to watch. I think obviously Gibbs is having probably his best season so far, and he's had some cracking seasons.
Yeah.
Especially in a team where, you know, he was almost like one person to fill up if they need someone like that. But he's outperformed the stars of the Crows. Obviously injuries have been there, but. Yeah, he's almost become the leader of that midfield now.
Going back, one thing I didn't mention about the game I went to the MCG on Sunday, Scott's Transport corporate box, still empty.
Empty.
So I'll be following that up. Saturday, we got St Kilda hosting the Giants.
I mean, we've been talking about every week there's an upset. Don't think it's going to be this one.
God, thank God the Saints have already got one win on the board. But maybe there's a few more injuries for the Giants. I know that... Jeremy Cameron looks like he could be in a bit of trouble.
Yeah.
And I think losing Lockie Tiziani from the twos might take the wind out of the Giants' sails.
I feel like it will. And, I mean, I think Saints are hoping that the roof breaks and the rain pours torrential downpour.
Could the Saints upset them?
I don't...
I'm not tipping it.
No, I don't think so. I'm just hanging on. Where's the upset going to come from? I'd give Carlton a better chance over West Coast than I would Saints over GWS.
Gee, that's a struggle.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Giants, West Coast and Carlton at the MCG. West Coast and Carlton at the MCG. Okay. Yeah. Mark Murphy's out as well.
Shit.
There's another one gone from Carlton.
Shit. There's a chance for another young kid to come in, but a team full of young kids, it's not what you want.
I mean, thank God that Eagles play terribly at the MCG, but
yep.
This is this is an AFL team versus a VFL team.
I mean, the Carlton fans, the poor bastards, have been getting pelted.
Yeah, I don't mind it, though.
Yeah, it's been great to watch. But, you know, you need some of your own fans there to give them shit. So might not just don on an Eagles uniform and go in there just for a bit of a laugh.
I think Josh Kennedy might have a bit of a day out. He might play 2.5 quarters and kick 8.
Yeah, yep.
The Power and Geelong at Adelaide Oval. Good game, this one.
Ooh, it's going to be a
cracking
game.
This is a good one.
Ooh, I mean, this is really, you're going to be looking at Cats defense, because if Port can get running on Adelaide Oval,
Big they Charlie
might be able
Dixon.
To... you know, really show what Geelong, I mean, their weakness is the back line, but it's not necessarily a weakness per se. But that's the only key to victory, I think.
Well, Port Adelaide have been ordinary the last 2 weeks. Obviously,
they
against
have.
Essendon, and the week before, they nearly lost to the Lions. They need a response as well.
They do, and they're not an ordinary team on paper. They've got a great list.
Yeah.
Adelaide was always going to be tough. Yeah, I think I've got to tip Geelong on this one.
I'm going to tip Port. I think that they can turn it around. They wouldn't be happy the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And big Charlie Dixon needs a big day out.
He does.
There's a lot of forwards are kicking goals these days, and he's not one of them.
Hey, Jack Watts will kick 2 goals, 5.
Don't worry about Jack Watts at all. it'll be Motlop's first game against his old side. So it'll be interesting. They might Geelong might just give him the ball, knowing how often he turns it over. The Dockers are hosting the Doggies.
I mean, you're looking for a response from the Dogs as well.
But one of the weaknesses of the Dogs is in the ruck. Now, Tim English is good. He's got a good leap for a youngster.
Yeah.
But Sandy.
Yeah.
He's a big lad.
Almost conceded and Chuck English up forward. I think Dockers will get this one.
I think so too.
Wouldn't surprise me if Bulldogs got there. I wouldn't call it an upset if they did. But I think Dockers, you're looking for them to, at least get some consistency at home.
Yep.
If they can hang their hat on that, then that's a positive, a stepping stone.
Against teams that they'd expect not to be playing finals.
Yeah.
You've got to bank these ones for
them.
Now, the big game on Sunday. North versus Hawthorn at Etihad Stadium.
Who would have thought this is 4th versus 7th?
You know what? North match up really well against Hawthorn.
They do. And I mean, but the Hawks have just had that get it done attitude this year. So, I've tipped against a few times and they've really surprised me.
Obviously, I'm going to tip Hawthorn, but I can make a good case for North. Hawthorn's weakness is tall marking forwards.
Yep.
North have got Jared Waite and Benny Brown, Benny Brown's, I think, second or third in the Coleman at the minute.
Yep. Even Jed hasn't had a decent game last week.
He's having a couple. So, he's not getting much of the ball.
No.
They've got a good tagger in Ben Jacobs, who's going to go to
Mitchell.
Mitchell, of course.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the back line, Tarrant goes to Ruffy. That's a good matchup.
Yeah.
Even Majak on Tim O'Brien is a good matchup.
Yeah, true, true. Is Segler playing?
No.
He's done.
Mile off.
Right.
Now, McAvoy versus Goldstein is going to be interesting. Goldstein used to dominate, but he needs to get back to his best.
Yeah.
But if you put Proust in there, he can push around.
That's true. And I mean, and with no Popolo, no...
Cyril.
Cyril.
Yeah, you got forward pressure.
Forward, they can really do that rebound. Yeah. And Popolo's been better than Cyril this year.
Yep.
I think we're almost a bigger out at this point of the season. It's going to be way closer than it should be.
There's a lot of good signs there for North.
It is.
The downside is, yes, you can cover Ruffy, you can cover Tim O'Brien.
Yep.
You can't cover Jack Gunston.
Yeah.
And you can throw Scott Thompson to him, but he's too quick for Scott Thompson.
Yeah, and you're almost ripping yourself off, like having him do a bit of hard work as opposed to being down back.
The loose one down there.
Yeah,
And if you do stop Tom Mitchell, Liam Shields and Jager Amir are having career best seasons. So you've got to trust Zeeble and Cunnington to go up against those guys.
And that's another thing. I think it'll be the running game of Hawks that'll get this done. I think it's going to be an ugly game, to be honest. I don't expect it to be pretty. It's going to be more points than goals. But, I think they'll get out of the line. Hawks.
Lions and the Suns. Someone's got to win.
Someone does have to win, I think.
I think I'm going to tip the Lions because it's at the Gabba.
I'm going the Suns because just why not?
What
just
a shit fight!
Give them a bit of confidence, maybe.
It's not the Spoon Bowl because Carlton aren't involved.
Yeah.
Melbourne and Richmond on Anzac Day Eve.
It's always been a good match between Melbourne and Richmond.
Melbourne have got to respond.
They do, and they've got a team that can make Richmond accountable. Defensive wise, they're going to struggle, I think.
I think so too. Jordan Lewis is out as well. He broke his hand.
Yeah, right.
So there goes some of their thinking coming back. Which, you wouldn't have always said when you think of Jordan Lewis.
Exactly. So, if Melbourne don't think and just act, maybe they've got a chance.
Geez, they need Viney back.
They do. Sooner, if he comes back. It's going to be tough.
Gorn versus the Big Tank.
Yep. Interesting one. Yeah, I think Richmond are always happy to concede the ruck regardless. So, I mean, even if that doesn't go our way in the first quarter, we'll have a plan B to try and counter that.
The last couple of weeks, you've been happy to concede the clearance too.
Yep. Yeah, for sure.
You guys, you just give the ball to us. We'll work from there.
Like, we're always better, almost like... better set up from our back line as we are from getting first possession in the midfield now. We'll just kick Dusty up forward. Let Rance and fucking and the rest of the back line get in there.
And thank God that both Essendon and Collingwood have turned their seasons around last week, because it makes Anzac Day look like an absolute bomb.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they always turn up on Anzac Day, but it matters more if it matters for, you know,
both teams,
ladders position. This is 10th versus 11th. Both teams... have a chance of playing finals. Essendon probably had a better chance start of the season, but Collingwood are starting to put something together. Maybe see how they go.
They're both sitting on 2 wins, 2 losses.
Yeah.
Now, so there's a big difference between 3-2 and 2-3.
Yeah.
I know that's silly to say.
We've never said you've got to cover Treloar and Sidebottom in the as the two top players for Collingwood at the moment. You know what I mean? They've got so many other players that you would think of, but yeah, it's going to be tough. I think I reckon Collingwood might get over the line this one.
God, they looked good last week.
I
think that I'm going to tip Essendon because I think Danaher is going to click for him this week.
Yeah,
because he's won the Anzac Day medal before, I believe. So Lyndon Dunn is a old school type of backman. If Joey gets a run and a leap and decides, you know what, I'm going to kick this one myself rather than handball in the goal square.
Yeah,
I think he can command the game.
Yep,
put it on his terms.
Yeah, so yeah, I think Collingwood will just have enough run to be able to get forward. I don't know if Essendon try and tag Treloar or who they're going to put on Sidebottom, but it almost takes away from their strategy to win. So I don't know if they've got enough really sort of plugs to fill the holes. Ruck's going to be interesting as well.
Yeah,
Mason Cox, he going to be playing this round?
He might be playing up forward, but Brody Grundy obviously has been absolutely killing it for him.
Yeah, yeah. So,
and I've liked Bell Chambers.
Yep,
he's
going to be a good matchup. But yeah, I think it's going to be pretty much battle defenses in this one.
Yeah, good game. Looking forward to it.
Yep.
All right, that'll do us for this week then.
All right, peace. Cheers.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.